Radio Prague News. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has said that his claims on the eve of last year's general election that the Social Democrats had spied on political rivals have been vindicated. Interior Minister Ivan Langer has revealed that in all 46 phone numbers were wiretapped in the case of the leaked Kubice report. And the Constitutional Court has ruled that Czech citizens formerly employed by Slovak companies are entitled to the same pensions as their Czech colleagues. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has said that his claims on the eve of last year's general election that the Social Democrats had spied on political rivals have been vindicated. Before last June's general election, Mr. Topolánek had alleged that the Social Democrat administration had bugged the phones of several people after a report by top police official Jan Kubice had been leaked, which suggested that there were links between organized crime and officials in the then Social Democrat government. In related news, Interior Minister Ivan Langer has revealed that in all 46 phone numbers were wiretapped in the case of the leaked Kubice report, some belonging to lawyers and also to children. Minister Langer says former Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek and former Interior Minister František Bublan were responsible for what he called unacceptable police procedure. People whose phones were tapped include MPs, city councillors, a mayor, lawyers, businessmen and also the teenage daughter of the mayor of Olomouc and her classmate. The Constitutional Court has ruled that Czech citizens who were employed by Slovak companies during the existence of Czechoslovakia are entitled to the same pensions as if they had been employed in what is now the Czech Republic. The ruling was based on the case of Anna Vajsová from the eastern town of Opava. She was employed in Slovakia, and as she was born in Slovakia, she receives a Slovak pension, which is lower than that of her Czech colleagues. The Czech police have completed an investigation into the illegal export of human skin taken from dead donors, the Bravo newspaper reports. According to the Daily, investigators are to recommend that 5 medical workers and 1 other person be charged with illegally exporting skin taken from a tissue bank at the Brno Faculty Hospital. The accused face up to 8 years in prison if found guilty. It is the first case of its kind in the Czech Republic. Prices for houses and apartments in the Czech Republic have risen sharply, according to Mladá fronta Dnes. The newspaper reports that property prices have increased by more than 10% in many large Czech towns and cities, with prices for apartments in Prague increasing by as much as 1/3. Among other things, the Daily attributes the price increases to easily available mortgages and foreign property speculators. Czech tennis player Nicole Vajdišová lost to Serena Williams in their Miami Open quarterfinal on Tuesday. The world number 8 was brushed aside by the American in straight sets 6-1, 6-4. And finally, the weather. The coming days should be partly cloudy with daytime highs between 11 and 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková, that's the news.
This is Colin O'Connor and you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Today, Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek, who is fighting corruption allegations, is to remain in the cabinet. But for how long? Environment Minister Martin Bursík brings Al Gore's green message to Czech schoolchildren. A complaint is lodged against a controversial design for the new National Library building. And in this week's Panorama, we take a look at the Esperanto movement in the Czech Republic. Stay tuned for this and more. Despite sustained pressure, beleaguered Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek appears set to remain in the Czech government. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek had said an investigation into alleged bribe-taking made Mr. Čunek's position untenable, while Environment Minister Martin Bursík made a direct call for the Deputy Prime Minister to resign. But after a meeting with both men, Jiří Čunek's position in government looks secure. For now at least. This report by Ian Willoughby.
Jiří Čunek v této chvíli považuje svůj odchod z vlády jako přiznání viny a v žádném případě to neudělá. A já ho k tomu nebudu nutit.
According to Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, Jiří Čunek believes leaving the government would be an admission of guilt. Under no circumstances will he quit, and I won't force him. Mr. Topolánek said at a news conference on Wednesday. He also said he had come over to Mr. Čunek's side partly due to what he described as media hounding. This statement represented quite a U-turn. Earlier in the week, the Prime Minister had told a newspaper that the Christian Democrats' leader's presence in cabinet was harming the whole government, and he said the situation was untenable. Police are investigating whether Mr. Čunek took bribes while he was mayor of the Moravian town of Vsetín. Mr. Topolánek's tough stance changed after a hush-hush late-night meeting on Tuesday between the Civic Democrats' boss, Mr. Čunek, and the head of the other party in the coalition, the Greens' Martin Bursík. The latter has been taking a hard line, directly calling on the Deputy Prime Minister to go.
Pan Čunek vnímá to setrvání ve vládě jako otázku viny a neviny. Pan premiér se k tomuhle vnímání přiklonil také.
Mr. Čunek regards remaining in government as a question of guilt or innocence, said the Greens leader. The Prime Minister inclines to this view, and we have no choice but to accept it, for now, said Mr. Bursík. However, other senior members of the Green Party say they're unwilling to accept Jiří Čunek's continued presence in cabinet. They could yet force further debate on the issue. In the meantime, Mr. Čunek continues to grin to the cameras and assert that bribe-taking allegations against him are untrue.
Já jsem nic takového neudělal. Všichni věříme, že ten případ brzy skončí a víc jsme se o těchto věcech nebavili. To je
věcí. I did nothing of the sort, and we're all sure this case will come to a close soon, Jiří Čunek told reporters. This is a matter for the criminal justice system, not politics. There's no reason to keep talking about it in circles, he said. So Mr. Čunek lives to fight another day. However, it was reported this week that police have widened their investigation to take in all major decisions made at Vsetín Town Hall when he was in charge. On top of that, he also appears to have lost some support within his own Christian Democrats. Jiří Čunek isn't out of the fire yet.
Pupils from Prague's Secondary School for Environmental Studies sat down at the city's Atlas Cinema on Thursday morning for a screening of Al Gore's award-winning documentary on global warming, An Inconvenient Truth. Afterwards, students were given the chance to put questions to Environment Minister Martin Bursík, who attends such showings on a regular basis. Rob Cameron was at the cinema and has this report.
Why do you directly contradict yourself?
Al Gore's powerful documentary about climate change has been shown in cinemas across the world and has won a host of awards, including most recently an Oscar. His basic supposition that global warming is man-made, potentially catastrophic, and that we should act fast to stop it is now supported by virtually the entire international scientific community.
I've seen scientists who were persecuted, ridiculed, simply because the facts they discovered led them to an inconvenient truth.
The film presents compelling evidence that the future of life on the planet is under threat from man's economic activity. But what did the pupils of Prague Secondary School for Environmental Studies think of the film?
Definitely I agree with Al Gore on this one. Something has to be done, because otherwise our planet is finished. It won't be good.
Well, let's say that it was a really interesting film, and the first half contained a really strong message about the environment, definitely. But the end of it seemed to me more like an election campaign for Al Gore. However, there was a very strong message, and we should draw consequences from it. Perhaps not the consequences that Minister Bursík proposes, but it was interesting, certainly.
And it was clear from many of the questions put to Minister Bursík afterwards that there is a variety of views, even amongst young people in the Czech Republic, towards the problem of climate change. Martin Bursík told me he welcomed any debate that would help mankind better understand the problem.
We don't know everything about the problem, and there is still some level of unsureness. However, the debate, which was after the movie, was very interesting for me because the questions they put showed me that they haven't got the information from observing the Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth only, that they've been more deep in a problem and studying it or reading or having a lecture. So I think it's very important so that the new generation has got the opportunity to get the information about this global problem, because it is more about their generation than about ours.
The Czech Republic is home to a well-known skeptic on climate change, the country's president, Václav Klaus. He recently told members of the US Congress that Al Gore was wrong on global warming and that what he called ambitious environmentalism posed the greatest threat to the world since communism. It's probably not a view shared by the majority of Czechs, but the debate in this country is certainly a lively one.
Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has never been one to mince his words, and his increasingly controversial statements and vulgar gestures have now got him in hot water. His behaviour has raised the ire of opposition parties and politicians, and most recently the Union of War Veterans. To top it all, a Prague lawyer is now pressing charges against him for promoting an extremist ideology. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
F-words, a raised middle finger in Parliament, and even a physical attack against a tabloid reporter. The Czech Prime Minister's volatile outbursts regularly fill the front pages of the tabloid dailies. Now, even the serious papers are discussing his behaviour. In a text message sent to a journalist on Monday, the Prime Minister used the German phrase Es kommt der Tag, the day will come, a slogan Czechs are particularly sensitive about, since it was used by the Sudeten Germans who called for the annexation of the Sudeten lands by Adolf Hitler. As an isolated incident, it could have been dismissed, but it was not the first time that the Prime Minister showed off his German. In June of 2005, he said the ruling Social Democrats could expect a night of the long knives if his party won the elections, the phrase that refers to the bloody purge of Hitler's political opponents and potential rivals in 1934. And in 2003, Topolánek compared the Social Democrats' election promises to the Auschwitz lie, the notorious German booklet that denies the Holocaust. It was stupid and thoughtless. I'm sorry I opened my mouth, he said later. However, he failed to learn his lesson, and his third reference to the Nazi years has resulted in legal action. At best, he will now have to explain his words to the Prague state attorney. Public surveys suggest that the Prime Minister's behaviour is not going down well with the public. A poll conducted by the online server Novinky indicates that 70% of Czechs feel the Prime Minister overstepped the boundaries of good taste. His words are also grist to the mill of the opposition. Opposition leader Jiří Paroubek said on Wednesday that the Prime Minister should get a grip and apologise to the public. And recently a communist MP sent a letter to President Klaus asking him to talk to the Prime Minister about his inappropriate behaviour in the lower house, where he has been known to stick out his tongue and accuse MPs of having verbal diarrhoea. Someone should tell the Prime Minister he is not being funny, the head of the War Veterans Union said on Monday. Whether anyone will take up the suggestion remains to be seen.
Renowned architect Jan Kaplický's design for the new Czech National Library building in Prague, which was selected from several proposals submitted in a competition for the project, has engendered much controversy. The futuristic building, which will look like a huge green and purple octopus with a big glass eye, has provoked heated debate among supporters and opponents of the project. Now the Czech Chamber of Architects has entered the fray. They claim the winning design actually breaks the rules that were set for the competition, and they are going to ask the International Association of Architects in Paris, which supervised the contest, to examine its transparency. Lenka Patákova spoke to the Chamber's Vice President, Dalibor Borák, and asked how he thought Jan Kaplický's design violated the competition rules.
The problem we as a Chamber of Architects see is that jury violated rules of the competition which they set themselves. In rules was set strictly that mandatory must be place the storage of books above the ground, which of course in the volume which was required is quite complicated task. The winner placed the storage underground. So in our opinion, the winner was about to be disqualified in the first round of the competition.
Do you want a new competition to be held?
That's a question. We think that many designs which were in that competition were very good, and the only problem is that the jury did not kept their rules. So probably some reorganization of the same competition could be possible as well.
If it's proved that the competition was unfair and did not stick to the given rules, what possible effect would it have on the atmosphere among Czech architects and their confidence in the fairness of such competitions?
I think that's the most serious part of the thing, because Czech Chamber of Architects for last 15 years tries to persuade all investors that architectural competitions are the most transparent and reliable system how to choose architects. And we have to say that in our field, in Czech Republic, it's generally understood like that, and architectural competitions are organized. In this case, this competition should have been the best example how it is organized in international scale, and unfortunately, it is a disaster, and I think that for moral atmosphere is devastating.
Dalibor Borak from the Czech Chamber of Architects, ending that report by Lenka Patákova. If you've just joined us, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Time for this week's panorama now, in which Pavla Horáková takes a look at the small but vibrant Esperanto-speaking community in the Czech Republic.
Did you recognize the tune, or the language for that matter? I won't keep you guessing, it was La Espero, the anthem of Esperanto. The lyrics were written by the initiator of the artificial language, Laser Ludwig Zamenhof. Estimates of how many people speak the language worldwide range from 100,000 to 2 million. In today's panorama, we take a brief look at the Czech Esperanto movement.
Unua maja post vesper, vespera maj la am sezon, aromis bin arbar ozon, al amo logis turta quer. Silenta musk pri am susuris, am gemo in flustris arp floranta, al ros per am bon odoranta, la naitigalo amon juris.
What you've just heard were the first few verses of the Czech romantic poem Mai by Karel Hynek Mácha, translated into Esperanto by Tomáš Pumper. The verses were read by my guest, Petr Hrdle, the vice chairman of the Czech Esperanto Association. Esperanto in the Czech lands goes back more than 100 years. Individual enthusiasts were already promoting the language at the end of the 19th century, and in the 1920s the first clubs and associations started to emerge. In 1921, a World Esperanto Congress was held in Prague, and in the 1930s, Czechoslovak radio started airing broadcasts in Esperanto. The Second World War, however, put an end to this development. After a brief renaissance after the war, the movement was once again suppressed and came back to life again in 1969. Petr Hrdle told me about the state of the movement today.
V Čechách je organizací více, právně samostatných samozřejmě.
There are several organizations in the Czech Republic, but the one with the oldest history is the Czech Esperanto Association. This was disbanded in the 1950s, but was re-established in 1969. There's also the Czech Esperanto Youth Association and a few informal clubs. In the past, we were able to tell the number of learners from the attendance figures of official courses. But now most young people are learning online. There are 3 courses for Czechs available on the internet. Around 1,000 Esperantists are members of organizations, but I cannot estimate how many people speak the language.
Kolik lidí zná Esperanto, nevím.
Petr Hrdle is also co-author of a textbook called Esperanto in 3 Months, which has sold several thousand copies. He is also a publisher.
Jsem nakladatelem proti své vůli. Protože jako pořadatel kongresu...
I say I'm a publisher against my will. I also organize congresses, and when I need to publish proceedings, it was difficult to publish them in small numbers. So my wife and I decided to start a publishing house. We made our hobby our job. We published our first Esperanto book, and then I went on to publish other things. So far, I've published over 100 books, and almost half of them are connected to Esperanto. Either they are written in that language, or they are Czech translations from Esperanto, or they're textbooks and dictionaries.
České překlady z Esperanta, nebo jsou to učebnice nebo slovníky.
I was surprised to find out that Esperanto has its own fiction, and moreover, there are Czech authors who have contributed with their works to the Global Esperanto Library. Publisher and vice chairman of the Czech Esperanto Association, Petr Hrdle.
Vzniká i u nás, samozřejmě, dokonce máme minimálně dva...
We have original literature, of course. We have at least two world-renowned authors. Namely, Eli Urbanova, who is from Prague and has recently turned 85. She became famous for her poetry and her autobiographical novel, Hetaira Dances, or Hetaira is Dancing, which was a big hit all over the world. Then there's Karel Pich, who wrote many novels in Esperanto, the best known being La Litomyšle Tombejo, the Litomyšle Graveyard. So we do have something to be proud of in this area.
I v této věci se máme čím pochlubit.
11 years ago, the 81st International Congress was held in Prague, which adopted the so-called Prague Manifesto, a set of 7 widely shared principles of the Esperanto movement. Imagining all the people of different nationalities speaking one universal language, I could not resist to ask about pronunciation and its obstacles.
Pro nás Čechy je to velice jednoduché, protože my Češi vlastně tam je pouze...
It's easy for us Czechs, because the only sound we don't have is J. In fact, we do have this sound, but we write it differently. For English speakers, it's much more complex, but still less so than for other nations. You can often tell by people's pronunciation where they come from, if they are native speakers of East Slavonic languages or English. But what is important is that different pronunciation does not stand in the way of comprehensibility. People may not have a standard pronunciation, but they understand each other, and that's the main thing. Esperanto is a means of communication and understanding.
A to je to hlavní, protože je to prostředek dorozumění.
The word Esperanto itself means one who hopes. The goal of its initiator, LL Zamenhof, was to create an easy and flexible language as a universal second tongue to foster peace and international understanding. While today English seems to be firmly established as the world's second language, Petr Hrdle says Esperanto opens doors where English would be of little use.
No tak, s tím, že lingua franca je angličtina, bych trochu diskutoval. Lingua franca je angličtina.
I would challenge the statement that English is the global lingua franca. The lingua franca you're talking about is a butchered version of English. But you are right that the world speaks English. But what is the world? For example, in Japan, only businessmen who studied abroad speak English. If you go to Japan or Korea, English is of little use to you. However, Esperantists have one great advantage. There may be few of them, but they are well organized. When I travel anywhere in the world, I contact a local Esperantist. They are all idealists, as it is not something you do for money. So automatically, they are friends. English won't earn you an invitation into a Japanese home. But through Esperanto, I have stayed overnight in so many Japanese households.
Jsem tam přespal, a to protože ti lidé jsou úplně jiní, no.
In the early 1970s, the Czech Esperanto Association had some 2,500 members. Their number has since shrunk to around 900, and the average age is rising. Petr Hrdle, however, is not afraid the community will die out.
Tak to se nebojí, protože mládež není moc početná, to musím přiznat.
No, we're not afraid we'll die out. Our youth is not that numerous, I must admit, because most young people prefer to pursue lucrative careers. That affects all clubs and all hobbies. But they are there and are very proficient linguistically. They meet each other, they start international families where Esperanto is the common language, and they give birth to children who are growing up as native speakers of Esperanto. So we are in no way afraid of extinction.
A podobně. Takže vyhnutí se v žádném případě nebojím. Mondo, volto, 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 vol
And that edition of Panorama by Pavla Horakova brings us to the end of today's programme. Remember, if you feel like commenting on anything you've heard today, or if you have any queries for us, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic, or simply send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Colleen O'Connor, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and take care.
Sulla strada lingua fondamento, comprenante unula alion, la popolo e faro sen consento, unu grandam rondo familia, mira diligenta collegato, en lavoro pazza nella cicios, tis la bella sonjo del comaro, por eterna ben effectivicios. En la mondom venis nova sento, tra la mondo iras porta voco, per flugilo il de facila vento, lunghe loco flugo gira loco, ne agrado soi fanta gira homam tiras familium alla monte eterna militanta di promessa santa harmonium sub la santa signo dell'espero collectitas falsae battalantoi cae rapide crescas la affero per laboro della esperantoi forte staras muroi de miliaroi inter la popoloi dividitai sed disaltos la obstinae varoi per la santa amo dispartitai sulla strada lingua fondamento, comprenante unula alion, la popolo e faro sen consento, unu grandam rondo familia, mira diligenta collegaro, en lavoro pazza nella cicios, tis la bella sonjo del comaro, por eterna ben effectivicios. En la mondom venis nova sento, tra la mondo iras porta voco, per flugilo il de facila vento,